I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess, now when did you last let your heart decide? I can open your eyes, take you wonder by wonder, over, sideways, and under. On a magic carpet, new fantastic point of view. No one to tell us no, or where to go, or say we're only dreaming.
Once again, another great show here. Let's create a better world. All about solutions, positive solutions for the world, and all about everything to do with health, all the new breakthroughs, research, science, studies. I'm Bobby Lee, your host, and...
Divine Aubrey, your co-host.
Hi, Divine. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Bobby. Happy Monday.
Oh, yes. Happy Monday is right. Monday at 7 p.m. That's our show every week. I have some announcements to make, but we have a great show with Dr. Christine Horner. You're going to open up and ask her questions in a couple minutes. Let me just make a few announcements. First of all, the next 3 weeks we've got great shows coming up. In fact, you're going to be participating with Maya, the shaman, on the 12th of the month, 12th of June. Tell us a bit on Maya.
Yes, Maya is fabulous. She has studied contemporary and ancient healing methodologies, primarily in shamanism, which is the oldest healing modality around. So we're really looking forward to having her on. And then the following week, we're having Veronica Gabriel, who has been studying and teaching the Course in Miracles for over 20 years. So some real fabulous, well-educated guests I'm really excited that are going to be on in the next couple of weeks. Veronica on the 19th of June and Maya on the 12th.
Excellent. And then the following week on the 26th, the Moringa Man, that's what we call him. His name is Joel Gold. He's one of the best, if not the best, Moringa people. He's totally dedicated. He went to an area where he could farm and grow Moringa. Moringa, if you haven't heard, is one of the fastest growing new health remedies in the world. It's a green powder. It comes from leaves from exotic places and special places around the world, and it does so many wonderful things. You'll hear that on the 26th of this month, on a Monday, of course. That's Joel Gold with Moringa. All right, let me give you a phone number to call. It's our phone archives are up to date. Now, our other online archives are not. They're going to catch up this week, hopefully. But we have five. You call this one number 24 hours a day, and you can hear five of our most recent shows for Let's Create a Better World. You just listen to it, you press the button, and you hear the show. If you don't like that show or you want to hear something else, get off and press the next button. Okay, and that number to call for the archives is area 701-719-0994. That's the archives. Always good things there. All right, one more thing. I think that's it. We've covered everything right now. Divine, go ahead and let's start by introducing our first guest, and you can get the show on the road with that, and then I'll jump in here and there.
Okay, fabulous. We have Dr. Christine Horner with us this evening. And remember when turning 40 was considered being over the hill, marked by a symbolic tombstone engraved, rest in peace, on top of your birthday cake? Well, today, turning 40 is more synonymous with running up a hill, especially for women in this age bracket who tend to be at their peak of busyness. So natural health expert Dr. Christine Horner, the author of Radiant Health, Ageless Beauty, is here today to speak with us on several topics. Dr. Horner, are you there?
I am. How are you?
Welcome. I'm wonderful. Welcome, welcome. So nice to meet you. Looking forward to all the information you have to share with us, especially on women's health and aging. Very much interested in that.
Great.
Yeah. So I know, you know, I was just saying, you know, turning 40, what do you suggest for, you know, women turning 40? How can we stay healthy and whole in our, you know, past 40 years old?
Sure. You know, well, so one thing that happens, the reason we kind of picked that decade is that when you're in your 20s and your 30s, you generally feel kind of invincible, and most people don't pay really much attention to their health. And in the 40s, it actually becomes much more critical for you to really, really, you know, pay attention to your health, or else you're going to set yourself up for problems in the future. And in the 40s now, women are, instead of being over the hill, like you said, they're actually super busy. I mean, it's usually a time when you know, their careers are really cranking, and they've got kids at home that they're taking care of, and so their health kind of gets put on the back burner. So, you know, there are mistakes that women make then in the 40s that can really affect them in a very negative way, that if they just did some simple little things, they would prevent that from happening. And, for instance, the first mistake that they make is to really neglect their heart health. And a lot of women and men kind of believe that heart disease is a man's disease. But actually, heart disease is the number one killer of women. In fact, it kills 10 times more women than breast cancer does. You know, but we seem to focus, you know, more on breast cancer, which is important. But, you know, again, you know, heart disease is the number one killer. So, you know, just making some simple changes. I mean, everybody knows that, you know, diet plays a huge role in everything, and of course it does in, you know, cardiovascular disease and you know, standard American diet, which is filled full of things that are really bad for us and promote diseases like heart disease and diabetes and cancers and so forth. You know, getting rid of those processed foods and those sugars and high calorie, you know, kinds of things, and switching it out for eating plants, you know, organically grown fruits, vegetables, and nuts, seeds, and that kind of thing are really the key to good health. And so just eating smarter. If you smoke, of course, you know, you want to stop doing that. Exercising, as we all have known, for cardiovascular health is absolutely critical. You know, the one thing that's interesting, though, is that even teeny tiny little changes or little tiny things that you do can have a huge impact. I mean, it's almost kind of silly. So, for instance, there's a study that came out a couple of years ago that showed that if you jogged for 5 minutes a day, like that's it, 5 minutes a day, there was a 48% reduction in cardiovascular disease. So it's,
wow.
I mean, like I said, it's almost silly as far as how the, you know, body responds. Now, another area of research, you know, is getting a lot of attention is the negative effects of sitting too long. So even if you exercise, but you sit for more than 5 hours a day, there is a statistically significant increase in your risk of developing a variety of different chronic diseases and also in shortening your lifespan. However, if you just get up from your desk for 2 minutes an hour, you know, so you're sitting there the whole hour, you get up, you walk around for 2 minutes, that's it. It takes away all those negative effects. So it's a way easier than what you think, you know, as far as the impact that you can have. But to me, it's really important to have this information so you have some consciousness about it and can, you know, just do some of these simple changes. Now, there's also some supplements that can be very beneficial in helping to lower your risk of developing cardiovascular disease. And the first one is omega-3 fatty acids. So, you know, we used to villainize fat, and now the thinking is completely different. And it's understood now that we actually need a lot of fat in our diet because our cell membranes are composed of fat. our brains are coated with fat, our nerves are coated with fat, our hormones are made out of fat. So actually, our body needs a lot of fat, but the most important thing is the type of fat that you consume. And the healthiest type is the omega-3 fatty acids. And they're found in things like salmon, kind of, you know, the cold water fish. They're also in flax seeds and walnuts and things like that. Now, most people, even if they're eating, you know, diets that have, that are higher in omega-3 fatty acids, they still don't get enough. And so it's recommended that you take an omega-3 fatty acid supplement in order to make sure that you get enough in every day. Another one is vitamin D3. So there's been an explosion of research in the area of vitamin D in the last decade or so. And so what's now been understood about this vitamin is that it acts much more like a hormone in the body, and it's used by every cell, and, you know, to function properly. And if it's low, which actually has been found to be low in about 80% of Americans, then it statistically increases your risk of all sorts of different diseases, from, you know, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, to certain cancers, and, you know, affects your bones. It can cause depression when it's low. I mean, it just is kind of a global, you know, type of effect. So that's another one where, you know, for optimum health and cardiovascular health too, it will increase your risk when it's low. You want to make sure that your vitamin D levels are optimal. And the only way that you would know that is to get those levels checked. And so there's a, you actually don't even need to go to a doctor's office to do that. You can go to a website called powerofd.org, and there's a kit that you can order that comes to your house, and it has instructions in it that basically what you're doing is just pricking your finger, put a little dot of blood on a piece of paper, you send it in, and then they can tell you what your levels are. Then you would kind of know, I mean, as far as whether you need, or you're taking the right dose, or if you need to take more. One of the things that we discovered was, you know, way in the past we used to recommend 400 international units a day. And now we realize that most people need a minimum of 2,000 international units a day, and sometimes much more. So everybody kind of metabolizes vitamin D differently, and what the correct dose for one person may not be the same thing for another person. If you have any kind of disease state going on, then oftentimes you need a lot more. I mean, sometimes you need 5,000 international units a day, even 10,000, you know, international units a day. So like I said, the only way that you know is to get your levels checked and then, you know, make the adjustments with it. And actually this kind of same organization that's run these, they're running studies on, you know, vitamin D3 and the association with various different chronic diseases, but they're all, now they're starting another one with omega-3 fatty acids. So you can actually order a kit to check your omega-3 fatty acid levels, you know, too, to make sure that they're, you know, up to the level that is considered optimal.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful, because I know with a lot of people's insurance, it's very difficult for them to have their vitamin, you know, blood test done. Now,
right.
You said the name of the website, is it Power of Disease?
Power of D.
The website?
Yeah, powerofd.org. Yeah, is the website where you order
the
kit.
Oh, Power
the
of D. Like
a D, like vitamin D. Yes, Power of
okay,
D.
Perfect.
Yeah, .org.
And I have
yeah,
a question so regarding the vitamin D. You said vitamin D3. What is the difference?
Yeah.
Because I take a vitamin D supplement, but it's just vitamin
yeah.
D. It does not say D3.
Uh-huh. Well, you have to look
the
on the back of it. It probably is D3. So D3 is the active
mm-hmm.
form. Sometimes you can
mm-hmm.
get supplements of vitamin D2, but that has to be converted to in your body to vitamin D3 to the active form. So it's considered much better to take vitamin D3, you know, the active
mm-hmm.
form. So that's certainly something you want to look for. Yeah.
Dr. Horner, this is Bobby Elias. I just want to let our listeners know that we're speaking to Dr. Christine Horner, an all-around health advocate, talking about women turning 40 and all the things that happen during the pinnacle of their career, longevity. Anyway, this is Let's Create a Better World. I'm Bobby Elias, along with co-host Divine Aubrey. But could you go more into the 40s thing? When women turn 40, more information. You did cover two real good subjects. One is exercise and one is supplements, and especially the vitamin D for the heart, because this, we are talking
right.
about the heart. But women over 40, tell us more about why it's so important for women to do all these things that you're talking about, and in fact, they should reread your book about that, too. But go ahead and give us your take on that.
Well, you know, again, I was just saying people kind of put their health on the back burner because they're so busy, you know, during that time. And so there's some classic, you know, health mistakes that women make. And the first one we just talked about was neglecting heart health. The second one is mismanaging menopause. So you may think, okay, most people don't go through menopause. I think the average age is about 50, you know, normally. But there's kind of an interesting phenomenon that's occurring right now, and that is the age of puberty is getting younger and younger. So around the world, the age of puberty is about 16 to 17 years old. And here in the United States, it's about 10. And so, you know, we witness this, you know, change where it's getting younger and younger. And one of the reasons we think that's happening is because, you know, our kids are being exposed to growth hormones in the foods, and then there's all these different kinds of molecules that will mimic the estrogen molecule that we find in you know, pesticides and herbicides and petroleum products. And, I mean, there's just so many of them. And of course, these are getting into our kids, so that's one of the reasons we think that we're seeing early puberty. Now, there's a number of kind of negative health consequences that actually occurs from starting periods too early, and one of them is that it actually elevates the risk of breast cancer later on in life, because with each menstrual period you get a surge of estradiol, which is the strongest, most abundant form of estrogen and the one that's most linked to developing breast cancer. In fact, you know, breast cancer is considered hormonal, and that hormone that causes it to grow is estrogen, and the more estrogen a woman is exposed to over her lifetime, the higher her risk of developing breast cancer is. So that's one thing we know for sure. Now, the other thing that is just kind of been documented is that the girls who go through puberty early are having a tendency to go through menopause early. So instead of going through menopause at age 50, it's not uncommon for these, you know, girls with early puberty to start developing menopausal symptoms in their late 30s and into their 40s. And so we're talking about, you know, when the body's imbalanced and so forth, that we see classical menopausal symptoms include things like hot flashes and mood swings and fatigue and night sweats and difficulty sleeping. So these kinds of things are generally associated also with having imbalances in your body, which, you know, come from kind of making the bad choices and diet and lifestyle. So if you correct those things, it's, you know, not uncommon for those menopausal symptoms to go away. And for instance, you know, staying up too late at night, you know, is one of the classic things that we know of that causes severe hormonal imbalances. So, you know, they found that the best times to sleep, optimal hours, is if you go to bed before 10 o'clock and you get up before 6 o'clock. And so what research shows is that this kind of has to do with the hormonal fluctuations that we have throughout the day and throughout the night. So they're constantly, all these different hormones we have are, you know, peaking and ebbing and flowing and so forth. And so in the evening, you know, our sleep hormone, melatonin, is something that starts to rise as soon as it gets dark outside. And if you go to bed before 10 o'clock, there's actually a spike that occurs in melatonin between midnight and 2 a.m., which you don't want to miss, because if you do, the consequences are rather spectacular. So melatonin isn't just our sleep hormone. It's also a very powerful antioxidant. It helps to stimulate the immune system to keep it strong. It regulates estrogen levels, so as it goes up, estrogen levels kind of come down, so it has that protective effect from it, but it also has many other actions. And then all these different hormones are things that will interact with each other. So, you know, things like insulin, for instance, or cortisol, which is, you know, a hormone that's involved with our stress hormones. All of these things are kind of, you know, relating to each other and interacting with each other. So when some of the hormones get off balance and the other ones do. So basically what they found is if you stay up to midnight on a regular basis, you develop such severe hormonal imbalances that the risk of heart disease, diabetes, obesity, and certain cancers like breast cancer, prostate cancer, colon cancer, they're nearly doubled, and it, just from staying up to midnight. So if you, you know, are a night owl, it's recommended that you back your bedtime up about 15 minutes every week, and you kind of train yourself to go to bed, you know, earlier, and again, just kind of slowly back it up 15 minutes a week, and then by the time you're, you know, going to bed before 10 o'clock, then getting up before 6 o'clock, then, you know, you'll be able to do that. And most people report that they just feel so much better. They have so much more energy. And, you know, this is something I've worked with women with menopausal symptoms and have them do that, you know, if that's one of the things that they're doing that's causing their body to have imbalances. And it's not uncommon for their hot flashes to go away then, you know, if they just go to bed before 10 o'clock. Now, as a breast surgeon, I, you know, used to do a lot of breast reconstructive surgery. The thing that I was very alarmed about and aware of is that hormone replacement therapy, which was, you know, basically given out like candy back in the, you know, 60s and 70s and 80s and so forth. It was like one of the number one medications that was prescribed in the world. And it was thought to be kind of the fountain of youth. It would make your skin look better. It would prevent Alzheimer's, heart disease, all this kind of stuff. Well, there was this huge study that was done, published in 2003, the Women's Health Initiative study, which is actually an ongoing study, the largest ongoing prospective study. That's when you follow people into the future, and that gives us the most accurate data. And so what they found in 2003 was that all this information that we were saying that hormone replacement therapy did was in fact false, and it had many terrible side effects to it, which included significantly increasing the risk of breast cancer, ovarian cancer, heart disease, you know, gallbladder disease, and so forth. So the prescribing practices of it actually kind of changed overnight, you know, when that information came out, and the incidence of breast cancer went down 7% the next year, and the year after that it went down another 7%, and then stayed, you know, kind of stable. But the, you know, kind of disturbing thing to me is that it's still pretty common. Like if a woman has menopausal symptoms and, you know, goes in to see her doctor, it's kind of the first thing that they do is say, oh, let's put you on hormone replacement therapy. And, you know, to me, I do not advise doing that at all. There are many natural approaches of, you know, first doing the kind of diet and lifestyle and rebalancing yourself, but there's many natural plants that actually have excellent research on it that have shown that it's very effective in helping with menopausal symptoms, but are completely safe. So, for instance, a few months ago, I got introduced to a supplement that originally from Sweden. It's made from Swedish flowers that kind of look like yellow daisies, and has been used in Europe. It's called Relizen, R-E-L-I-Z-E-N, and Relizen has been used in Europe for about 15 years, and in fact, it's the number one hot flash formula in France right now. And so Relizen was brought to the United States about 3 years ago or so, and one of the things that I was so impressed with is that, you know, they really focused on doing studies on it kind of with the same rigors as what you would do with a pharmaceutical medication. So they set up double-blinded placebo-controlled studies that were done in university settings. And so what they found was that, and, you know, completely documented then that Relizen is very effective for these common menopausal symptoms, particularly the hot flashes and mood swings and fatigue, and helping with some of the sleep, you know, issues as well. And this research is actually so impressive that now over 2,000 gynecologists in this country are recommending Relizen to their patients, thank goodness, instead of, you know, going to the hormone replacement therapy. But the other thing that they did that was so great was they, you know, they did it with a placebo control, so then they could look at, you know, what if any side effects there were, and they found that there were basically no side effects. I mean, it was equivalent to the placebo. So here we know that you've got, you know, something you can take. Relizen has got these, you know, great research on it, absolutely been documented to be effective, and that we know that it's completely safe, even for breast cancer patients, you know, it's completely safe. And really, for thousands of years in all the different cultures and countries, you'll find that there's there's some natural herb that's been used for menopausal symptoms for, like I said, for thousands of years. So like in South America, maca, which is considered a superfood, it helps with energy and so forth, but it's been shown to balance feminine hormones and was used for that. It's, you know, from Peru. You know, here in this country, the Native Americans used black cohosh. Also flax seeds are another thing that are known to be very hormonally balancing. So, you know, quite a number of plants, they've got good research on it and again show that, you know, they're completely safe and effective. And so, you know, again, no need to, you know, jump on that hormone replacement therapy. I think it's, you know, you can do it if you've had surgical menopause, you know, where you've suddenly had your ovaries removed. You do need to have some assistance with hormone replacement therapy and, you know, bioidentical hormones, like considered hormone replacement therapy. I mean, that's kind of a common thing that people are jumping on now too. And they haven't really been proven to be safer. You know, than the pharmaceutical ones, just a little bit, but they still increase your, you know, risk. So that's not something I generally recommend. But if you have had surgical menopause, then yes, you know, it's important to, you know, have some bioidentical hormones for a while, a couple of years, and then start weaning off of them. And like I said, I think using some of these natural plant-based products are a much safer choice.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what valuable information. Wonderful. Now, I know, Dr. Horner, that you're no stranger to changing policy when it comes to women's health care. In the 1990s, you launched a 5-year crusade called the Breast Reconstruction Advocacy Project that led to the passage of unprecedented federal law that was signed by President Clinton in 1998. How do you feel about women, the future of women's health care under the Trump administration?
Well,
hot topic, right?
Right. So, you know, I mean, definitely we're looking at the possibility that you're not going to have all the benefits that you had before. And, you know, as you said, back in 1993, actually, I mean, I started my plastic surgery practice in 91. I was doing a lot of breast reconstruction. And in 93 is when I got my first letter from an insurance company saying that they weren't going to pay for breast reconstruction on my patient because it wasn't medically indicated. And then another letter from another company that said they're not going to pay for breast reconstruction on my 30-some-year, you know, patient because it was on an organ with no function. I went, uh-oh, you just said that to the wrong person. Yeah, so I, you know, organized this campaign and, you know, to pass laws to make it mandatory that insurance companies pay for breast reconstruction. And they were like, well, you can never go up against the insurance industry, you know, because the lobbying powers are too great and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we really did it as a grassroots effort. And as you said, it was 5 years of, you know, really organizing this and going to Washington. I met with President Clinton several times and, you know, Hillary. And so, you know, it actually got tagged on the budget bill and passed. So now it is a federal law, you know, that all insurance companies have to pay for breast reconstruction. So it's kind of like a same thing where it's, you think, oh, you don't have that much power, but we do, and that it really requires that each of us is active and becomes an advocate and really fights for what we think is right. And then also, you know, it's another kind of wake-up call, I think, to really, you know, take your own health into your own hands because, you know, first of all, our health care insurance, our health care system is not really a health care. It's a disease care, you know, system. So it's just kind of designed to be set up that once you get something, then, you know, you're going to get some pharmaceutical medications or something to suppress those symptoms. And so in order to prevent that from happening, you know, you really have to take a proactive stance in your own health, and it's kind of what we're talking about today. You know, there's some really simple things that you can do to, you know, dramatically lower your risk of some of the common issues that, you know, occur from the heart disease to, again, the menopausal, you know, stuff so that you don't increase your risk of developing breast cancer. You know, weight, another, you know, issue in this country where, I mean, it's just ridiculous where I think the stats are about 2/3 of us are overweight or obese and, you know, and our children. I mean, it was never that way. And of course, there's terrible consequences of being overweight. It's not just an appearance problem, but when you have excess weight, it actually is what we call metabolically active, meaning that the fat cells are producing hormones. They're also producing these inflammatory proteins that increase inflammation in the body, and that's one of the processes. So inflammation and oxygen-free radicals are the two processes that are kind of involved in the initiation and progression of every chronic disease. So we're talking from, you know, dementia to arthritis to heart disease to certain cancers, I mean, particularly breast, prostate, and colon cancers, which are really similar, but inflammation plays a huge role, you know, in those. So keeping your weight down, I mean, it's just like saying, okay, well, we just accept it, you know, everybody in the U.S. is big. As you get to middle age, you know, it's kind of, you think, oh, that's normal for you to gain some weight. But actually what the research shows is if you gain even a little bit, I mean, we're talking 5-10 pounds, that kind of thing, it can have a negative impact on your health and, you know, put you at more at risk for some of these chronic diseases. So again, just like heart disease, where I told you you could, you know, jog for 5 minutes a day and have a 48% reduction, you know, if you just do some switch-ups in what you're currently doing, so, you know, there's so many things like those coffee drinks that have this, you know, hundreds and hundreds of calories in them. We'll switch it out for, you know, a coffee drink that doesn't have, you know, all those dense calories in it. So you're still drinking the coffee, but you're not, you know, getting those intense amount of calories. And then, you know, wherever you can, adding more plants into your diet, because those are always, like, super low, and calories are very filling, and, of course, giving you the nutrition that you need so you don't feel, you know, quite as hungry. And, of course, adding more exercise is also crucial to that. So, you know, simple things like just park your car farther away from the store that you're going to. Take the stairs, you know, when you're at work, so you can kind of incorporate things into your life instead of thinking, oh, my God, I don't have time to go, you know, work out at the gym or do something like that. Well, you don't, you know, you just keep adding these things, you know, throughout your day, and it's like then it becomes pretty darn easy to keep your weight down, you know, it's just so important for your health, like I said, because of all the, you know, terrible side consequences of being overweight and all those diseases that will increase because of it.
Great. Mm-hmm. Dr. Horner, we love having you on. You cover so much territory, and this subject of women, yes, you're welcome. And women, at the end of the show, I want you to really get into, explain a little bit about your books, because I know they're excellent.
Sure.
And I want our listeners to know that even though you were a plastic surgeon, you got out of that business because you found that it wasn't really the same thing. The medical industry is not what it is. It's causing all those mentioned, the problems you mentioned now, and instead holistic health and pure health and the right diet are the answers. So
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, so, I mean, just the story with that, well, as a plastic surgeon, I mean, I was specializing in helping people kind of turn back the clock, right, and using the scalpel and topical chemicals and so forth. And then, again, this kind of early on in my career, I think it was 1996, I got introduced to the system of medicine called Ayurveda, which is from India, and Deepak Chopra talks about that, but Ayur means life, and Veda means knowledge, so it literally means the knowledge of life, and very different than Western medicine, but just recognizing that we have natural laws that govern us, kind of basic principles, and if you follow those laws, your body will go into imbalance, and it will enhance your body's inner healing intelligence. If you disobey those laws, then your body creates imbalance. Balances and that will obstruct the flow of that natural healing intelligence, and it won't be able to keep you well. So it's kind of the basis, fundamental basis. But everything in, you know, you've kind of heard of as far as in complementary and alternative medicine pretty much, you know, was originated from Ayurveda. So includes things like massage and yoga and music, you know, therapy and meditation. And so these are all these modalities that they use in order to bring the body into balance. So one of the first things that I did to experience Ayurveda is I went to this clinic that they have in Fairfield, Iowa, of all kind of interesting places. But it's called Panchakarma. Pancha means five, and karma means actions. And basically what it is a detoxification program, and it's 5,000 years old. I mean, that's how old Ayurveda is, and they've been recognized, you know, doing this detoxification program for that long. because what they recognize is that we accumulate toxins in our bodies. And if you think about it, 5,000 years ago, we didn't have all the chemicals and preservatives and toxins and, you know, things that we have in our, you know, culture right now. But Ayurveda says, well, if you, you know, are eating, let's say, when you're emotionally upset, then you don't digest your food properly, and the undigested particles of food become toxins in the body and help to clog it up. So they said, okay, you need to go through this detoxification a couple times a year. Now, it sounds like it might be uncomfortable or unpleasant or painful or something, but it's not. It's like going to a luxurious spa. They use all sorts of like heat treatments, massaging with heated oils and steam treatments and things, but all these movements are designed to get these toxins out. And so the first time I did that, I signed up for like 3 days. That was it. And 48 hours into it, I looked in the mirror, and I looked 10 years younger and never felt better in my life. And I thought, oh, my God, these people really know something. And I also recognized, too, that that's the look that my patients wanted, that youthful, healthy glow, which you can't produce with a scalpel and topical chemicals. And also, I mean, what good does it do if you look good on the outside but you feel crappy on the inside? So that's when I really started switching into natural health and decided to leave my practice. It's been about 15 years ago now, actually, and really dedicate myself full-time to teaching people about how to become and stay healthy naturally and avoid the knife. So
I'd like to hear more about that detox spa. Where did you
get
that from?
Sure. Yes, yes, good
idea.
Well,
there's actually lots of them. If you Google Pancha, it's P-A-N-C-H-A, and then Karma, K-A-R-M-A. So Pancha Karma Clinic. So they popped up all over the place. I mean, it used to be when I was talking about Ayurveda 20 years ago, you know, I'd ask for a show of hands, you know, when I'm talking to groups of people, and it'd be like no one had heard of it, and now virtually everybody has. There's training courses, you know, that they have in the U.S. now, but there's, you know, Pancha Karma clinics all over the U.S. And like I said, the whole thing is designed to help to get the toxins out of the body, and particularly the lipid-soluble. So in other words, what happens is when you get a toxin in your body, it will actually concentrate and store in the fat cells. And it can stay there for, you know, 20 years or so. So, for instance, DDT, you know, the pesticide that we no longer make here because of, you know, realizing it was so incredibly toxic. But, you know, unfortunately, American companies still make it and send it to countries where it's not illegal, so it's still in our system. But there was a study that where they took blood levels of DDT, and then they took the fat level, so they actually biopsied the fat, and they found that it was 700 times more concentrated in the fat than what it was in the blood. So now that, and then Bill Moyers, you know, had that whole series of programming that he did, and one of the things that he did was to check his blood levels for various different chemicals, and I think he found like 138 chemicals, and that's kind of the National Institutes of Health, you know, say that that's kind of the normal, you know, toxin load, at least what they're looking for. They find about that many chemicals, and they say no baby's born in the U.S. without having chemicals in their body. So, I mean, we're really exposed to them. So Pancha Karma actually is designed to help pull out those toxins that are stored in the fat cells. So there's a lot of, you actually drink ghee, which is clarified butter, or flax oil, so you're actually ingesting a lot of oil into your body, which then helps to pull those toxins out, and the heat treatments and massage and everything is designed to then facilitate flowing that into your colon, and then they actually do some medicated colonics to help to pull that out. And so they've done studies where they said, okay, let's measure the amount of toxins in the body and do biopsies in the fat, then have somebody go through 5 days of Pancha Karma, and then re-measure it and see what happens. And they found that there was a 50% reduction in the level of toxins in the body after just a 5-day series of treatments from Pancha Karma. And then if a person eats organically and does treatments on a regular basis, the Panchakarma treatments, let's say twice a year or something like that, then they found in those individuals that the pesticides and toxin levels were undetectable. So you can really get those, you know, way, way down. So, yeah, I would highly recommend checking it out because it's quite an experience, and it's amazingly rebalancing. And, you know, I've seen nearly miraculous recoveries of people that have chronic diseases that are thought not to be something that's reversible, that, you know, after doing Panchakarma, they were, because it just does this huge boost to your internal healing intelligence.
Divine, I know you might have a question, but I just want to interrupt real quick. I have two new people that, well, the lady has leukemia, which is part of cancer, we all know, in a 20% level, and was already given a sentence of several months to live, and we don't like that. I'm using Gary Knowles, and what I've studied with cancer, with going back to Dr. Pablo Arreola, I've read his books, and I'm actually advising them to get on a diet of a lot of juices and vitamin C, and then cruciferous sprouted juice, berries. And just a few minutes on that. And at the end of the show, well, after the show is over, I'm going to, if it's okay with you, I'm going to have them call you for a five or 10-minute consultation about what they're at, and maybe you might be able to suggest a holistic doctor that might specialize in theirs or whatever you think best. But let's talk about that for just some quick minutes.
Well, you know, anytime the body develops any kind of disease, you know, including cancers, it's, you know, in Ayurveda, what they say is that all diseases come from imbalances. So we look at diet, you know, have you been eating, your lifestyle, and the lifestyle is, you know, things like, you know, what time do you go to bed, what time, you know, do you get up, what kind of exercise, you know, that you're doing, what are your normal kind of habits that you have. It also includes emotional work, which we've now recognized that emotions actually play the largest role in our health, so more than diet, more than smoking, more than genetics, is the effect that our emotions have on our body. You know, when I went through medical school and residency and everything, we didn't think emotions had any effect in the body, except for we thought, well, you know, people who get peptic ulcer disease seemed a little stressed out. But that was it. And now we recognize that, in fact, emotions have the greatest effect on us. And of all the emotions that affect us, feeling loved and supported is the one that has the most effect. So actually, Dean Ornish had wrote a whole book on that, like called Love and Survival, decades ago, where it was the number one predictor of how people did after cardiovascular surgery, you know, whether they recovered, what their complication rate was, and, you know, that kind of thing was all about feeling loved and supported. So whenever there's a situation where someone's developed cancer, for instance, you know, I very much, when I do a consultation with somebody, it's looking, you can look at this as an opportunity, really, to do a complete inventory of your life. So we've all heard of people who get cancer, and then they say, this was the best thing that ever happened to me. And you're like, how could somebody possibly say that? And it's because it actually forces you, if you so choose, you know, you can use that as an opportunity then to do this complete inventory of your life. And when people do that, you know, they profoundly change their lives. And you know, it's not uncommon for their cancers to just go away, you know, sometimes too, when they get to kind of the core issues, you know, that are there, and then makes these transformations. So, yes, I think it's extremely important that people look at, you know, what they're consuming, and you know, their diet has a huge thing, but I think we get really focused on that and don't think about the other things that sometimes can have an even greater impact. So, for instance, looking at the emotional stuff, and there's been so much work, you know, in this area where they've kind of mapped out and noticed that depending on what your the emotions that you're feeling, and actually with each emotion that you feel, there are molecules, just kind of like a pharmacy in the body, that are produced for that particular emotion, and then those molecules of emotion will attach onto like your immune system or your DNA, and it actually affects how functional or non-functional your immune system is, and how what genes are being read in your DNA. So, of course, having positive emotions like feeling happy and joyful and love and that kind of thing has an immune-boosting effect in the body, and also helps the DNA to read, in a more optimal way. Negative emotions like depression or, anger, all those kinds of things have a bad effect on the body. I mean, it's important for us to feel those, but hopefully pass through them, quickly. But if you hang on to them, then they can lodge and cause imbalances in very specific places in the body, which, this is stuff in Eastern medicine where it was, known that, there was these corresponding areas, and in Western medicine, we just kind of like poo-poo that, but now we're actually getting documentation. So for instance, lung cancer. You hear about people that get lung cancer that never smoked, and Christopher Reeves, Superman's wife, is a perfect example of that, where when he died, like a year later, she developed lung cancer and died, because grief is actually stored, is affected in the lung area. So that's kind of the cancer of grief. Anger is something that affects the liver, so we'll see, diseases or things that will, occur in that area. If you're not speaking up, speaking your truth, you can get things in your throat or in your thyroid, which overlies, that area. For breast cancer, that was my specialty too, and I've, written a book on breast cancer prevention. But where the breasts are is overlying where the heart is, so it's considered a fourth chakra. That's kind of in the Ayurvedic system issue. And so when they actually do tests, where they have people looking, kind of filling out a thing where they're looking for commonalities in breast cancer patients, they did find, some commonalities. And one of the things that they find is that it's very common that some huge stress happened in the person's life, and it was a stress that caused a heartache. So it could be a break in a relationship, death of a child. I mean, something big like that going on, and very common to have relationship issues, maybe in a loveless marriage or, something like that, going on, that can then show up as having breast cancer. And then, interestingly, people that don't have good marriages and the woman has breast cancer, they find there's a much higher risk of heart disease in the man, in those couples. So, like I said, we definitely see where there's a correspondence to a particular emotions or thoughts that you have and the area of the body that's affected. Now, in blood diseases or lymphatic diseases, that's actually considered a first chakra issue, which is kind of the base chakra, but it's about a sense of belonging, kind of to the tribe thing. So it was more common for people, in the past, this was something that was noticed, that when you're, if you're gay and you weren't accepted into the culture, I think it's different, now, but, decades ago when it was really not accepted, that was a more common cancer, that we might see. Of course, there's exposures to, chemicals and, bad foods and things like that that we can always do an association with too, but, when you have, like I said, developed a cancer, you can take this as an opportunity to do this complete inventory. You can look at, everything in your life about it. So, for instance, even, heart issues or breast cancer, it could also be that you hate your job, and you're not fulfilling your passions. That one of the philosophies is that each of us has come here really with a mission and special talents and everything, and if you're not living those particular passions, then that's something that can be really damaging to, the heart area, or, increase your risk of breast cancer too. So it's really looking at, okay, how am I nourishing myself, how am I exercising, how am I taking care of my body, but also what are my relationships like, am I, living my passions, am I not, or there's, anything like that. So there's a really great book that this woman, Anita Morjani, wrote. Wayne Dyer actually discovered her and got her published, but her story was that she had, like, leukemia or lymphoma, one of the two, lived in Hong Kong, and she was, I mean, her body was just completely shutting down. She was in a coma. She was going to the light, and you know, where she had this near-death experience and, you know, was given the option of coming back and said, you know, she had more work to do to come back. But they told her that her cancer really came from the fact that she was living her life to please everybody else, and she wasn't being her unique self, who she was meant to be. You know, she came in as Anita, but yet she was just trying to please, you know, her parents and please everybody else. And so, you know, here she is. No one would have expected her to survive. She's in a coma and, you know, the hospital and having her organs shutting down and everything, but she came back into her body, and within a few days, the tumors had shrunk by 60%. And then, you know, now she's fine, of course. And she's written several books, but Dying to Be Me was, you know, the book that she wrote, and just talking about how, you know, our thinking processes or how, you know, we're living our life is, you know, can have this effect on us where we can develop an illness like that. And so doing that kind of emotional work and really soul searching and, you know, seeing what you need to do in order to kind of get your body, mind, and soul into, you know, more alignment of how it should be is really critically important for, you know, any kind of healing.
Dr. Horner, we've got to go. Divine, I know, wanted to ask another question, but we want to have you on again in a few months to talk about a lot of things, ancient healing, Ayurveda, and just more and more. You've
sure.
got so much information. I admire
Thank
you because you've done so much research, Dr. Horner.
Thanks.
So give your contact information now, and then Divine and I are going to talk. I'm going to talk about Divine and her work and some of the shows that she's done recently with it. But go ahead and give your contact information and name your books, please.
Sure. So, you know, best contact is my website, which is drchristinehorner.com, spelled drchristinehorner.com. I have a free newsletter on there. I provide consultations, telephone consultations for folks so they can, you know, schedule through my website. My two books, first one is called Waking the Warrior Goddess. Kind of an odd title, but it's about enlivening your body's inner healing intelligence, and it's everything that you need to do in order to lower your risk of developing breast cancer or more successfully fight it. The second book, which just came out last year, is called Radiant Health, Ageless Beauty, and it's all about how to create extraordinary health and longevity. And both books, I'm happy to say, my first book won a National Book Award for the best book in health, medicine, and nutrition,
right.
And my second book, Radiant Health, Ageless Beauty, just won a National Book Award, too, for a best book in health, medicine, and nutrition about a month ago.
That proves that you're one of the best, Dr. Horner, and I'm just pleased, and we loved having you on, and we'll have you on again. Well, wasn't that a great show, Divine? Wow.
Oh, yeah. And congratulations, Dr. Horner.
Thank
and I was
you.
Going to ask
Thanks.
You, you're welcome. How does one or can one order your books on your website, or are they through
sure,
Amazon?
Yeah, absolutely. Anywhere. So, you know, they're available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you know, wherever. If you want an autographed copy, then, yeah, you can order that through my website.
And your website.
That's
right. Great.
Thanks again, and we'll
so
be talking to you again in the near future. And I do have
okay.
I do have one couple that want to call you right away on the one that has the lady that has leukemia. I think
sure.
want to consult
well,
you
yeah,
just
like
for a few
I said,
minutes.
They can just schedule through my website. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you. All right.
Okay. Great. All right. Great.
Wow.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Divine, I told you what a great show she'd make, right? We don't have much time. We've already given what we're going to have for the next few weeks, but I'd like mm-hmm. you to give your information about, I know you were on the show on March the 20th to talk about chakras, and you were on again May the 8th to talk about yoga. These are two of your
yes.
specialties, and people can look up your archives on those. You can check the archives anyway. But what else do you want to say? You want to give your contact information, Divine, because we've only got a quick minute or so left.
Yes. Well, primarily, Bobby, I, as you know, I concentrate on chakra clearing and balancing. That's
yes.
my baby. I do Reiki. Also, I'm a well-being life coach where I incorporate body, mind, and spirit. So that's why I really appreciate it. The information that Dr. Horner, shared, because it's exactly the work that I do, giving a lot of attention to our emotions and loving ourselves more, especially women. Women are natural nurturers, so a lot of our energy goes out. And so it's important that we love ourselves first so we have the energy and the total well-being to be able to take care of and nurture others. So anyone can reach me at 310-714-9704. I do give a free 15-minute consultation. So that's 310-714-9704. And my website is divineblessings.us. And that's D-I-V-I-N-E, blessings, B-L-E-S-S-I-N-G-S.us. And,
So listen, our show is blessed to have you, Divine. We've got to run now. I'm going to say thank you to a few people. And, well, of course, thank you, of course. And thank you to our guest, Dr. Christine Horner, to our New York staff, Jesse, the director, and our engineer, Kelsey, to our L.A. staff of, I shouldn't say L.A. staff, because one of them is from Brooklyn, Greg from Brooklyn, and also from L.A., Lydia. Thank you all. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, the listeners, for tuning in. And we've got our song to go out with. And we shall talk to you again in the next few weeks. We've got some great shows lined up. Thank you, and everybody have a blessed day. Thank you, Divine. We'll talk to you next week, Divine, right?
You're welcome. I'll be with you next week. Many blessings for me and our audience out there.
All right. Take care.
No one to tell us no, or where to go, or share.